Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, Checkpoint Research recently identified 16 malicious applications masquerading as innocuous coronavirus apps that are really designed to take control of your Android device. Once the malicious application is installed, a hacker will take intrusive control of your device via a remote shell, accessing your calls, SMS, calendar, files, contacts, microphone and camera, in addition to write, add and send privileges. The malicious applications were not found on Google Play Store, but were discovered in new coronavirus-related domains, which researchers believe were created specifically for the intention to deceive the masses by leveraging the fear circulating, or rather circling, coronavirus. Most frightening is the speed and ease of which these device takeover apps can be created and who can create it. We get insights from Tony Jarvis, who's Chief Technology Officer, Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies. Tony, thanks for joining us today. Hope you're staying safe out there.
Thank you. Yes, safe and well. Thanks.
So explain how these malicious applications work. What should we look out for?
Yeah, so some of them are interested in your online banking transactions, so they can monitor your keystrokes and the SMS messages you've been receiving. That gives them your usernames, your passwords, your one-time pins, so they can get access to your bank account and make fraudulent transactions, for example. Mm. Those ones try to remain hidden, but others make themselves very obvious. So some of them will pop up ads on the screen, even if you're not using the app, while others will call premium phone numbers that charge that call back to your mobile phone bill. So there's definitely some variety in terms of what we've been seeing.
So you need to have downloaded, though, these applications, right?
You do, but you don't necessarily need to download them from the official app stores. These particular applications weren't even on the official app stores. So that's part of the problem.
That's very significant, isn't it, that they weren't found on the Google Play Store?
Absolutely. So we all know that, you know, you can go to the Google Play Store, you're going to download applications from there. It's not the only way to download applications. And on Android phones, all you really need to do is change one or two settings on your phone, and it's entirely possible to download applications from third-party sources.
Like a website?
Yeah, websites can give you links that will directly lead to downloading the files you need to actually put that application on your phone.
So your CTO over at Checkpoint Software Technologies, you guys have identified 16 malicious applications. They were masquerading as what you're calling innocuous coronavirus apps. What were those particular apps, or what was the mask saying that they do, these apps?
Yeah, they do a number of things. Some make themselves very obvious. We've talked about those annoying pop-ups or ads,
yeah.
But others don't. So in fact, some deliberately hide the icon for the app to make it hard for you to even know it's there or get rid of it. So in that case, there's not too much you can do after you've downloaded, except monitor your call logs, make sure nothing's showing up there. But my advice here is the only coronavirus-related apps you should be downloading are the official ones that we know about. So, for example, our Trace Together app, ones we've definitely heard about, we know are legitimate.
Right. So if smartphones, would you say, are more vulnerable now than ever before, or have always kind of been vulnerable?
It's hard to give a yes or no. On one hand, the protections have improved. So when developers submit their applications to the Play Store, it goes through screening, and those controls have improved. But at the same time, the threats have evolved as well. So we've got this game of cat and mouse going on all the time. For most of us, protections, the only protections we get are from the official app stores. We don't have any other protections on the phone, so you really do need some sort of security running there. And given the increased usage of mobiles with work from home at the moment and the increased interest we're seeing from attackers, it's really important to be looking at that now.
Let's say we find it. You're saying some of them were hard to pinpoint even, but let's say we've discovered them. What should we do?
Well, if you discover it, if you can go and uninstall the application, definitely you want to be doing that. Some do make that process hard, which is why we always emphasize prevention over detection. So if you have some sort of software, some sort of security that's protecting your devices, just like on a laptop, then you want to try to keep yourself safe before these things happen.
And what are we talking about here, Tony? Sort of admin password, 2FA kind of thing?
It's a number of things. So really, if we're talking about protecting ourselves, the software will do that. It's going to make sure certain sites we try to get to, if it knows they're bad, it just won't let that connection through. But from a personal initiative, in terms of any websites where it gives you the option to enable two-factor authentication, and there are many now, we really should be doing that to make sure that we are further protecting ourselves.
Yeah, so let's try and delete the app if we could, and what else? Let's say we've found out that we have it or inadvertently downloaded it through the call logs, and oh no, we're already paying perhaps.
Yeah, if you've already downloaded it, if it's difficult to get rid of, if you can't see an icon, you might be in a situation where you need to do a factory reset on the device to try to bring it back to a stock sort of situation, or potentially give it to an expert who can look after that for you. It can get rather complicated.
Right. So earlier we talked about how lots of us are working off the devices and such, and perhaps working from home in a less secure environment, not the enterprise-wide security environment that we're used to at work. How else can we secure ourselves then, Tony?
A couple of things we can be doing, and maybe a couple of things we shouldn't be doing. If we're talking about the things you should be doing, always keep the operating system and all of the apps that you've downloaded up to date. Whenever you get those notifications saying there's updates available,
it's critical. Yeah.
You've got to do it, yeah. And install security software. That's a must. If we talk about the don'ts, don't visit sites you're not familiar with because you can't be sure they're trustworthy. And don't be tempted by updates or promotions around anything to do with COVID-19 offering information. If you've got any doubts, check with your trusted news sources that you're already familiar with and go to those websites instead.
And those tips obviously extend to laptops and desktops.
Yeah, absolutely they do. We need to have people thinking about their mobile devices and their laptops or their desktops in exactly the same way. So would you open an email from somebody you don't know or visit a link that they've sent on your laptop? No, so you shouldn't do it on your phone. Or would you use a laptop without at least running a basic antivirus? You wouldn't, and our mobile phones are no different. But one big difference here is you can't hover over a link on a mobile and see where it goes before you click on it. Mm. So you have to be extremely careful, more so on the mobiles than on the desktops or laptops.
Right, because you can mouse over on a desktop and something
will
pop, and you can sort of read that before going willy-nilly and clicking everything. We're speaking with Tony Jarvis, who's Chief Technology Officer, Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies. So you guys over at Checkpoint Software Technologies, Tony, have also discovered an increase in what you're calling double extortion malware. So malware we may be a little bit more familiar with. What's double extortion malware?
Yeah, this one is really new. It's basically ransomware, and a lot of us now are familiar with ransomware. It will encrypt your files. It makes them unreadable, unusable. It doesn't give you access to those files back until you make a payment, a ransom.
Yeah.
This one comes with a twist. So it's ransomware, yes, plus extortion. So what happens is before those files get encrypted, the attacker will take copies of them, and they keep those copies. Then they tell you to pay the ransom. Now, if you don't, what they do is they threaten to reveal the sensitive data they've stolen from you to the public. And this is a really new trend. It's becoming more common. So to protect against this, there are dedicated ransomware protections, both for laptops and for phones, and we are seeing this take off as a trend this year.
We also want to talk about keeping our devices clean on the outside. Should we be getting these funky doodahs of water baths that I'm seeing a lot of ads for? And also, what do we do about our phone cases as well, device cases?
Yeah, so there's a lot of talk about this. The experts, from what I've read, are of two minds. Basic precautions, you wash your hands. You don't want to have your mobile cases near anything that's obvious, you know, a no-go zone. But if we're talking about securing the phones from the inside, there's a couple of pretty easy tips. So don't go crazy on downloading applications. Look at the permissions that an application is asking for when it downloads. If you're downloading a flashlight application, it shouldn't be asking for permission to look at your contact list.
Mm.
And beware of SMS messages saying that they're trying to get in touch with you for anything to do with contact tracing. Don't follow any links. Don't click on the websites. They will call you back and speak to you in person. So if you stick to the basics, you should be pretty well prepared.
Personally, how are you holding up with all that's happening, Tony? And how's the team at Checkpoint Software Technologies as well?
Yeah, safe and well. Everybody's great, thank you. I think really the biggest problem we have at the moment is a bit of cabin fever setting in. It's a little monotonous, but if that's the worst we've got to complain about with all things considered, I think we're doing well.
Tony Jarvis, Chief Technology Officer, Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies. Tony, thanks for joining us today, and stay safe, sir.
Thank you, you too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.